Welcome to the Impactful CEOs Podcast. My name is Lou Mosca, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer and Executive Vice President here at American Management Services. You know, every owner has their goals for their business, but most don't have a formal plan to make those goals a reality. Since 1986, American Management Services has been working with owners like you, helping them to develop and implement a formal plan that achieves their goals and secures a future for their business. So with a formal plan, owners can thrive in their business's success, creating wealth and opportunities for all. And that's why we've created this podcast, to share the unique plans and strategies business owners have implemented to grow their business. Stick around to the end of the show. We will reveal how you can be our next guest on one of the fastest growing CEO podcasts on the planet in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's get started.
And today's guest has been a guest lecturer, has appeared on HGTV, the Chicago Tribune, Forbes, and was recognized amongst America's top 50 remodelers by Remodeling Magazine. She's the founder and CEO of Integra Builders. Please welcome Allison Case Anderson. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. Now, tell me a little bit about Integra. What do you guys do there?
Integra is a custom builder. We focus on residential and commercial interiors, and we have a primary focus in historical restoration and homes in Harbor Country in southwestern Michigan.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that company got started. Now, you guys, for how long have you guys been doing this up there?
So we are in our eighth year.
Okay.
And I started the company because I hired a terrible contractor.
Really?
And yeah.
Tell me about that.
So, you know, I had a big cushy corporate job and was going on the executive track. And I decided that I wanted to do something that was more tangible, a little more meaningful than, you know, chasing the dollar day in and day out. And so I decided, like every other person in America, that I wanted to flip houses.
Okay.
And so I got a business partner and we decided we were going to flip a house, and we brought in, you know, his buddy, quote unquote, the contractor. And we started at one budget, and by the time we were done, we were at double that budget, and we're talking hundreds of thousands. And, you know, we thought we were going to be spending 200,000. We ended up at 460,000. And, I couldn't believe it. There was no management. There was no transparency. We felt totally stuck. And I was telling this to my friends and anyone who would listen to me bemoan my issues. And to my shock and horror, everyone was coming back to me with their own story of their own contractor that they hired. And the process was very similar to mine. And I thought, gee, you know, Chicago has all this historic architecture, and people are terrified of contractors. And I thought, you know, this is a real opportunity for me to make a difference and to change the game and up the ante and allow homeowners to renovate their homes without fear and with a higher expectation of what they can expect in the construction process from contractors. So we're trying to change the industry one project at a time.
Yeah, that sounds great. Tell me, what was the inspiration for the name of your business?
So Integra is Latin for refresh and Italian for integrity.
Mm.
So
I had a feeling that the integrity came in there somewhere, since that was the primary issue with what had happened.
Yeah.
And you're trying to bring that back to this type of business. So that's fantastic. Tell me.
The logo is actually also part of the dynamic too, because it's like, you know, every contractor has the logo with the house somehow built into the logo, you know, and it's like John's Contracting or, you know, something like that. So, you know,
yeah,
something a little different.
Yeah. Well, other than obviously, you know, trying to do things differently than what some of these other contracts and trying to keep that integrity, tell me a little bit, I guess, in the, some of the specifics as how your company kind of makes a difference, is unique for your clients.
Yeah. So we do major renovation projects, you know, so people who are, you know, maybe bought a three flat and want a duplex or are gut renovating their homes and they're looking for a long-term investment. Those people have to hire architects and they have to hire a builder and they have to get a pretty serious permit from the city. And where we really come in is really protecting the homeowners from the construction process, meaning we are not giving the price to start. We give the price to finish, even if it's not what they want to hear. My whole role is to give bad news up front, but also to really collaborate with the architects, because there's been this dynamic between contractors and architects over the years where contractors hate architects because architects hold contractors accountable. And because architects are 2D and contractors are 3D, and there's always a little finesse that has to happen in order to bring those worlds together. And the homeowner is the one who ends up as the referee between them. Yeah. And so we have really come in supporting the architects, praising the architects, rewarding the architects who know what they're doing, and taking the homeowner out of the trenches, you know, and dealing with it, and also giving real numbers up front and not being afraid to say, this is how things are, you know, and this is what it's going to cost. And this is the amount of money you can expect to be spending, so that the homeowners are not like just giving money hand over fist, never knowing when it's going to end and having like PTSD by the time their project is over.
Yeah. And what type of impact do you see then on those clients, both on both sides, I guess, from the architect and from the homeowner stance? What kind of results do you see or praises do you get from them for that type of?
Yeah, I think, you know, the biggest impact we have is that, you know, real estate is already really expensive in Chicago. And when people are investing money, you know, they're investing hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars into these properties, and the margins can be really tight. And so for us coming in the beginning and being like, this is what you're going to get for X, you know, you want to do this, you want to do that, it's going to be $850,000. Maybe their budget's $650,000. And, you know, by coming in the beginning and being like, this is what you can do for $650,000. If they don't want to do that, at least it was their choice.
Right.
You know, it's not like we're coming in later and you're making split decisions. People know what they're going to do. They know what they can expect. And it allows the architects to really shine. I mean, most of the fun on the projects is saying like, wow, look at what we did for that. You know, look how we got from here to here, and we still ended up with a final product and a budget that everyone was happy about. Well, no one's ever really happy about the budget, but, you know, theoretically, you know, at least everyone knew what was going to happen before it happened, you know.
tell me a little bit about your employee structure there. Do you guys have builders that work for you, or do you hire out? How does that work?
Yeah. So we're a boutique firm. And another aspect of our business that's very different from most, especially in the residential side, is we have very strong management. So there's myself as the CEO. We have a project manager. We have a superintendent who manages everything in the field. He manages projects, but he also manages all of our site foremen. We have two site foremen. And so every project gets a dedicated site foreman, someone who's in the field that's managing the subs that they can communicate to. And so in-house, we have five employees, and then we have about 40 to 50 crews that we hire, subcontractors. So we have two subs for every trade. And those are also very relationship-based.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about how do you manage that relationship?
Yeah. So, you know, with the subs, our role as the general contractor is to keep them very efficient. And loyalty goes both ways. You know, we have a lot of Eastern European crews. We have a lot of the Latino crews, and we're often competing in the marketplace against other GCs. And it's a rat race, let me tell you, you know, and, there's a lot of branding that goes into it, but no one's going to hire the high bidder. People want to hire that mid-range bidder. And the only way that we can add a markup to the subs numbers and have people still hire us at the end of the day is to keep the subs efficient. You know, when the subs come in, they want to know that their materials are there, that we know what the design is, that everything is ready for them, that we're not wasting their time. And if we can do that time and time again, then their pricing stays consistent. And when we call favors, they'll do favors and things like that. So it's a lot of personalities. There's a lot of different working styles between the subs. And all the subs have to really coordinate with each other. So it's managing those personalities, managing the scopes, who's doing what. You know, often there's that kind of piece of scope that nobody wants to do. And everybody points a finger and says, oh, HVAC should do that. And, you know, and the plumber and HVAC, you know, and HVAC is like, no, the plumber should do that. You know, we're kind of like the parents who have to say, no, actually we've chosen you, you're going to do that, you know? And, so yeah, I mean, it's a huge, huge part of our job, is managing the subs and keeping those pricing in line. And at the end of the day, it comes down to our management, our ability to execute the work.
Yeah. What do you, a lot of people who listen to this podcast may be on a similar path. They're the entrepreneur who wants, you know, had a bad experience and wants to make, you know, start fresh and do something. Tell me a little bit about what it was like and how you guys went to market initially. Like, how did you start this company?
Yeah. So I got really lucky. One of the lead carpenters from the very first project that I did, the flip, he left that company and then I scooped him up, to work for my company. And so he was really critical in, making those initial relationships with the subs. And because I had been telling everybody about my experience, I had sort of developed this little network of people who were doing construction. And I had one friend who was like, yeah, I have a project that's a disaster. I have no idea what my budget is, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'm getting my GC license and my business partner's mad at me. We're not going to flip anymore because I don't like his friend, his buddy, the contractor. And that's not working out. And so they were like, hey, you know, why don't you renovate our project? And I said, yeah, I can do it. You know, I said, why don't I give you a really good price? And as long as you understand that this is like my first, you know, basically my second time really doing this, and we go through that with that knowledge, let's give it a shot. And then after that, you know, we were doing that. And then I had another friend who was like, well, I'm renovating my two flat, you know, would you want to do that? And then I started working with architects, and that's when I really realized that's really the play. That's really how you run projects, is by having that plan. And so it happened organically. And then HGTV picked up one of our projects, and we got like a PR firm, and the PR firm really pushed me in the beginning to really set up a foundation of SEO and all that jazz. Is a huge investment in the beginning. I mean, you know, it was like $25,000. Might as well have been $1 million to me back then, you know, and they were like, you got to do it. If you're going to be on HGTV, you got to already be there because people are going to put an Allison and tag enter, you know, they're going to put, you know, Integro Chicago, they're going to put in Allison Chicago, and you got to come up, you got to dominate. You know, and the only way to do that is we got to do this for a year, you know, before it hits HGTV. And that was a real springboard for us, that show. The title was called The Never Ending Renovation. We got shut down by the city over zoning in the middle. So we didn't actually get to finish.
Oh, wow.
And I still think it's like the number two most watched episode on House Hunters Renovation.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
So how did that work out? Did they contact you, or you guys contacted them? Like, how does one get on an HGTV show like that?
Yeah. So it was, I had a blog that I was doing initially, you know, and I was writing things like how to plan your MEP schedule. And then 3 weeks later, it'd be like how to mess up your MEP schedule, you know? and so someone from HGTV had reached out to me and was like, oh, you know, we like your blog. Like, you know, you're kind of funny. You're kind of cute. You're doing things in Chicago. They were focusing on Chicago, at the time. And then my clients applied to House Hunters Renovation, and the application got accepted. So it's sort of like, it's sort of quasi. Yeah.
That's really cool though. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what you, the best thing that you've done in your business that has shown profit growth.
Saying no, is probably the most profitable thing I've done. you know, it's really, really tempting in the work that we're doing. You know, we're working on pretty large scale projects and, you know, you're looking at a sexy set of drawings and you have a client that's going low bid. Don't go to that low number. You're going to lose all day long and you're going to be on that project forever. You know, I think qualifying our clients is as important as qualifying our pricing. And I think the power of saying no in negotiations and overall project selection, it's by far the most profitable thing we do. Yeah. You know, it's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. What are you most excited about that your company has coming up in the next 1, 3 to 5 years or so?
Well, we just opened an office in Southwest Michigan doing custom homes, and we got our first project there. So we're super excited. And the project is really, really difficult. So we're really excited about that. And we think that Michigan is really going to take us into that next threshold of revenue growth. You know, Chicago is fantastic and we definitely have growth and we love the work there, but you know, especially with the pandemic, you know, first you had the recession. I wasn't in business for the recession, but I was in business. I was in corporate America for the recession. And then, you know, COVID last year, basically everything stopped and, you know, we just had to pivot. And I just didn't, you know, I just realized that we weren't really diversified as much and, you know, you can't rely on the good times. You really got to prepare for the bad times if you want to make money.
Yeah. What characteristics or skills do you think are most important for a startup leader like yourself, like when you first decided to start this business?
Yeah, I think the most important skill, the most important piece of knowledge that I learned is that there is no room for ego being a CEO. You need to leave your ego at the door. If you start being prideful and thinking about how people feel about you, or you're trying to like, if you're trying to walk around being like, I'm a CEO, like I'm a founder or whatever, you're going to lose every time. And, you know, for me, it's just like, and I tell my staff this all the time. It's like, you leave your ego at the door because there's enough egos in the room for everybody, you know? And if you, our role is to navigate everything right to a final destination. So.
And so now that you're in, up in, you said Northern Michigan,
Southwest Michigan
or Southwest Michigan. Now, is that also, kind of urban like Chicago or is that more,
the opposite residential?
Yeah. What's that so like?
That's more harbor country. That's kind of like,
oh, that's right. You said that.
That's okay. It's woods, it's, Lake Michigan, you know, a lot of those are second homes. And you know, it was an easy branch for us because a lot of those homes are being built by our clients in Chicago, their second homes. So, you know, the project meetings are still in Chicago, yeah. But we're building in Michigan. Yeah. So that's totally opposite of what we're doing in Chicago. And in Chicago is primarily renovation, restoration. We do a lot of landmark work, whereas in Michigan, that's all new construction.
Yeah. So tell me, I want to make sure you have a chance to tell everybody how they can find more information, like your website and where you guys are located.
Yeah. So our website is www.integro-builders.com. You can find us on Google, Integro Builders. We're, you know, in Michigan or in Chicago. We have an Instagram account where you can see me doing silly things all the time. And yeah, you know, you can look at our website. We give our pricing structure right on the website. We have a lot of good information on our blogs about how construction works and what you can expect, what you shouldn't be expecting when you're in the process. So
awesome. Now, when you're not running, you're not being a CEO, on your time off, hopefully you get some, what do you like to do? What's your passion? What motivates you outside of work?
Well, I love to travel. I travel pretty extensively. I love to cook. And I'm also a competitive sailor. So
really?
You'll see me in regattas.
Tell me about that. What is it? How does that work? Where do you sail?
Right on Lake Michigan. You know, it's a huge lake out here. It's the largest freshwater lake in the world. And it's a huge community out here, competitive sailors. So, you know, I think there's about 350 boats Chicago Race to Mackinac Island is the largest freshwater race in the world.
Wow.
330 miles from Chicago up to Mackinac Island in Michigan. So, yeah, we're out there racing, you know, taking pot shots, having a good time.
Now, how long is a race like that? The 330 miles on a boat? Like how long would that take?
Well, it depends on the boat you're on. If you're on like a 50 to 70 foot boat, you know, you'll be there in a day. Mm. If you're on, say, a tartan 10, you know, it could be 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so the race could last that long.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's better like the people you're sailing with. Let me tell you,
I was going to say now, obviously you're a leader and you're a CEO. What type of skills do you think do you, when you're on the boat, is it similar? Like you're trying to kind of manage that experience. Draw a comparison if there is one between what you're doing on the boat and running a business.
Well, sailing is an endurance sport. Mm-hmm. And you got to keep your head in the game all the way to the end, whether that race is an hour long or it's 4 days long, you know, because especially in sailing, you know, it's all the same boats. And so you're never going to be that far apart in those races. And what separates the winners from the middle of the pack is usually seconds or inches or centimeters. And I feel like that's exactly the same as my business.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's all in inches and centimeters and minutes, you know?
That's really good.
Who was paying attention and who wasn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on a 4 day or 4 or 5 day journey like that, do people sleep in shifts? Like, are you constantly moving that whole time or do you stop and sleep? No.
Yeah. So there are kind of two different schedules that people sleep on. Some people do 4 on, 4 off, 4 hours on, 4 hours off. Mm. Sometimes they'll do 4 hours on, 4 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off. It just depends on the skipper and what he decides. And it also depends on the weather conditions. You know, we can have some really harrowing weather. So if there's storms, it'll probably be the shorter shifts.
Yeah. And have you ever won or placed? Or
Well, actually, a few years ago, we won overall the Nude Regatta, which is the National One Design Offshore, Regatta, which is a nationwide event. And so we qualified, we were first among, I think it was 300 boats or something. And then we were able to go compete down at British Virgin Islands against all the winners across the country. And we got third place there. So,
wow. Well, yeah. Congratulations. That's really cool. Awesome. That's neat. Yeah. And it's fun. I mean, it's neat that you're able, I mean, those skills like cross over and then you still, but this is just an interesting way to have fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show with us today. We really appreciate you sharing kind of your story and what you guys are doing there. And I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to another episode of Impactful CEOs. We'll see you next time.
Okay, Lou Mosca here, and thank you so much for listening to the Impactful CEOs podcast. If you're a successful CEO who would like to be on this program, please visit amserv.com/CEO/apply. If you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that will be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #ImpactfulCEOs. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to my team and me. Want to know more? Go to our website, amserv.com, or follow American Management Services on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram @AmServBiz. Listen, thanks for listening. We will see you next time.